Mazer streaks away, power flying.
Welcome back to another edition of the Parrot Podcast this week. I'm joined by Birdie.
Hey, how's it going?
And 40.
Hi, hoi, hoi, hoi.
And Ham.
And I believe that's the full 17 back together again.
With your host, Hamish. That does round out the team list, so it's nice to all be back in the same box. And coincidentally, it comes off the back of a win in first grade. Let's go straight into that. Eels 27, Cowboys 20, four tries apiece. Clint Gutherson perfect with the boot, but for a wayward penalty goal. And then Dejon Arce with the dagger, one-point field goal in the 76th minute. Just looking through some of those team stats, which saw almost even percent of possession. Completions were pretty poor from both teams at 72% apiece. And then pretty much everything's pretty close. We had an extra 100-metre post-contact. Cowboys 7-4 line breaks. We had more tackle breaks. Play the ball speed, both pretty similar. Tackle effective percentage, us at 90% to the Cowboys 84, us missing 33 to their 39, them taking two intercepts. They had 22 ineffective tackles to our four, 11 errors apiece, 8-5 penalty count, 2-2 ruck infringements, and we had two players on report to their one. So what was really a pretty close contest there, Birdie?
I was actually away at Newcastle for the weekend, so I only watched bits and pieces of it. Yeah, look, I was just trying to get a piece of that, that lifestyle. look, it didn't start off well. It's just something about the Cowboys where they just scored, like, even though we were comfortable, I was comfortable watching the bits and pieces of it. I was just thinking, oh, here we go. They've got too much strike power across the park. So it was just more so like, you look at that try to Drinkwater where the chips on the last, like, I was just nervous the whole time. I was just, like, packing it because it's just, like, they could score, at any stage. But it was good to see that the forwards fire up. And, this is no slack on young Blaze, but we just seemed a bit more calmer out there with Dejon. And, I don't think Dejon's that type of player, where he's very calm. So, it's, look, it's a win. That's the main thing. I tipped a low-scoring game. So to get, over 20-plus points, it's a big credit to the team. And, yeah, I've just, I might be biased or, like, Will's biggest fan, but, like, I expected him to have a big season this year, like, step up. But I just feel as though he's just sort of, like, plateaued a bit, if that makes sense. So, I don't know. Maybe I might be overreacting to it.
I think when he's been missing his second row and halves partner on that edge, it's pretty difficult to, really excel, especially in attack.
Yeah, I just thought he'll take the next step. Maybe he might. At the end of the day, he's like, 22? Not even that. Maybe 21. So, like, we look much quicker with Sivo out of the team. Bailey tries his hardest every time. He's got speed. But, it's what we wanted. We wanted the response, It's at our home ground. We do want to have back-to-back losses at our home stadium. But, I don't have any more to say. Just back it up for next week. Or this week, sorry.
Yeah, we played some ordinary football in the preceding 2 weeks. Looking at how the Tigers have gone since they played against us, they've been, pretty, dross. Like, they've been pretty, pretty terrible. And we played pretty ordinary against them, played terrible against the Raiders. I think the opening 25, 27 minutes of the game against the Cowboys was some of the worst football we played that entire period. I do not know how we had a lead at halftime. I don't know if that's a credit to our boys or a damning reflection on what the Cowboys have been doing in that game. Maybe a combination of both. But I'll credit our boys. They didn't drop their heads. The Cowboys, might have been able to score a couple of tries. They didn't. Or a couple more tries and they didn't. So they held up their part of the deal, got to halftime and completely reset their focus. They were a different team in the second half. Not perfect, but far more disciplined, far more motivated, far more direct. And it made a huge difference. They were far better. Like, they were a much better team than the Cowboys in the second half. I know they scored that ridiculous try that Birdie mentioned with that, you know, multiple tip backs and hot potato football that led to Drinkwater being able to get clear in support. But beyond that, I thought the Eels were well and truly above their opponents, which shocked me because I know the Cowboys, you can make an argument the Cowboys had a bit of false form coming into this one. They were second on the ladder, but had some, you know, tighter games against not so fancied opposition or opposition that were heavily favoured against. But in reality, the Eels were still down on troops. Bryce Carver was only nowhere near 100%. He played this game, played tough, and they did the job. So I was very pleased at full time there. I had this one written down as a loss. So, I mean, it's classic power, isn't it, to drop a game against the Tigers and then get pumped by Canberra and then turn around undermanned, under strength to, you know, knock off the Cowboys. But count me as very pleased that they dug deep and showed some of the qualities that we expect from this team, given the pedigree of players that are across the park.
Ham, what was your take?
I tell you why we were in front of halftime is, you know, we weren't playing that well in attack, but defensively, I thought it was what we needed. It was scramble. That two defensive plays summed it up for me perfectly. Was that first half was Dylan Brown forcing that error on Valentine Holmes. That's the best, one of the best tackles you'll see all year, I think. Just if you could have a textbook tackle, that's it. Right underneath the ball, shoulder driving in, and then obviously forcing an error as a cherry on top there. And then the second one, Sean Russell, you know, I don't know if it was by luck or by design, being able to grab Murray Taylor along his leg and put it over the touchline. To me, those two typified the first half and the way we were scrambling. You're saying you're shocked we went up. Well, to me, we should have been up by more. The first Tigers try wasn't a try. Push Sean Lane in the back. Not shoulder to shoulder. That shouldn't have been a try. But other than that, I thought Sean Lane had his best game of the year. It seemed to be about that time, about 25 minutes in. Something clicked, and he's just running hard, running straight. There was probably 3-4 times, I think it was in the second half, poking his nose through, and he's just sort of, he was used to his halves partner, Brownie, just being there, just wasn't there. Obviously, he was on the other side, creating chaos there, so couldn't follow that up. But Laney had his best game. Comparing it to the week before, I wrote three words. Sivo soft, Bolo soft. That typified Parramatta's game last week. This week, you know, the numbers might not be there for the backs, especially, you know, you look at Bailey Simonson, 10 runs, 60-odd metres. Sean Russell, 9 runs, 80 or so metres. No run out of the backfield was soft. No one jogged into the line. No one turned their back. You know, Bailey, you know, people say crabbed across field, was getting us into a better position for the next tackle. To me, that's an intent for the back five, and for that helps out the forwards massively for me. They're not being dominated on third tackle. They're pushing through, and, you know, the numbers aren't there. But the eye test for mine, the backs really stood up in this game.
Yeah, I think that's all pretty apt. I missed pretty much the first 60 minutes of the game because young bloke was in hospital and we only just got out, all fine now. But from what I saw in the last 20-odd minutes, Dylan just seemed to be freed up a lot to really take it down the short side there and really engage with his running game. There seemed a couple of tackles that, you know, he almost slipped through a couple of times there. I think you guys have touched on it, but defensively, the Cowboys, they have some great attacking weapons there. You know, you've got Drinkwater, they've got Dearden, they've got, I know he hasn't been in the best of form, but what's his name, the centre, Valentine Holmes. And we seem to have shut them down to a large degree and forced a fair few errors, which was great. One negative I'll put in there was Joey Lussick. Come on, basics, mate. Get your foot behind the 10-metre line on a dropout. You can't be doing that. And if it had turned on that, would have been very, very disappointed. And Morgan Harper, mate, clean up those hands, please. Please. Catch the fucking ball.
With that one with Joey Lussick, I'd like a definite ruling on that one, because which side of the line is the 10-metre line? Because to me, it looked like he had both feet on the line. Like, I'm not, you know, you shouldn't give the bunker an option to take it back. But if the ball has to break the plane of the 10-metre line, surely if you are standing on the 10-metre line, you're in play.
I think it's behind. I don't want to be definitive, but I think you've got to have both feet behind the line, like at a kickoff. You're meant to be behind the line. And I guess like a dropout if you're the
except team. Every team kicks over the line and no one ever gets penalised, which is a stupid inconsistency, but here we are.
Very, very true. And you'll see late in games, you know, they pick it up once or twice a season where there's a kickoff and, you know, somebody's 3 metres offside from the kickoff and they just have to kick them.
Yep.
But having said that, you know, unfortunate for Bailey to go off in this game. We seem to have lost an outside back in every single bloody game this season.
Except they had the technology. $6 million out the back. They rebuilt him as the bionic eel.
Well, there's been more miraculous comebacks this year. I think Jack Bird we thought was dead and then he was back on 10 minutes later. There's been a couple of other ones. So we've got that secret water and they've got Bailey back out there. But yeah, as you guys have touched on, not the prettiest win, but it's a win. It gets back to even Stevens. It does, doesn't it?
Yes, we're at parity three again. Three wins, three losses. Yep.
And that's pretty much what we've got to do is keep ourselves at 50% until, you know, Mitch Moses gets back a little bit later in the season to give us a real shot at having a crack in the
season. Every win we get over 50%, like 50% win rate, is a massive victory for the club in the context of Mitch making his return. So staying above 500 is absolutely huge for our club right now. So this is a big game this week as a result.
Completely agree. So it feels good to be back in the winner's circle, boys. And long may we stay there. Talking about winner's circles, knock-on effect, New South Wales Cup. The Eels victorious 30 over the Bears, 28 in their first win of the season. Try scorers there, Maker Sivo, Zach Sini, Sivo with a double and Sini with a double, Jake Otago and Samuel Luizu. Ethan Sanders only 3 from 6 off the boot, coming back from a halftime deficit. Gentlemen, this was the curtain raiser. I didn't see it. How did you see it?
Another game where Matt Arthur, I think, was clearly the best player on the field, which is good to see him continuing to dominate against other senior opposition. The Bears were a pretty well-positioned team coming into this game. I think they were third on the ladder. In saying that, they were without the vast majority of their Melbourne imports for this game. In recent weeks, they've had Asofa Solomona, Tepoi Moroa, and a few other players in the mix. They weren't part of this game, so we took them on in more under strength. But in saying that, Matty Arthur, fantastic. Unfortunately, Offa Yogden, I think, picked up a pec injury, which is not good. Outside of that, Ham, I'm just trying to think of who really stood out. It was just one of those games where I think it was kind of like blow for blow. Neither team did a lot amazingly well. But we, to our credit, actually had our nerve this week. And it got pretty tense at the end. We spotted them some extra opportunities to potentially score that we probably didn't need to. But we did a good enough job to get the first win. And like I said, really the player that continues to stand out in a big way is Matty Arthur.
I'll have to take your word for it this week. I was enjoying some lovely beers at the Young Henry's Brewery in Newtown.
I'm surrounded by traitors. How dare Hamish look after his child and how dare you have fun elsewhere? This is unacceptable. And Bertie was in Newcastle. I can't believe it.
Yeah, fake fans.
Yeah, traitors and fakes and sycophants, the lot of you.
Hey, I was recruiting. I was trying to bring home Miles Martin, so...
Okay, I respect that.
No worries.
Sorry, I muted myself and have not unmuted myself. Now, let's get into the bad news, which is that Flegg going down 12 to the Storm's 24. Storm not really a noted Flegg team. 40 Ham.
This is the one game I didn't get any eyes on this week because it clashed with the Cup. It kicked off at 2:45. Cup kicked at... It was New Era, but it got moved into the hills. And then, obviously, I was at Conmag watching Cup, so I have no clarity on this. All I know is that Charlie Sorovi scored a double, and we blew a 12-0 lead, going down 24-12, I believe. So, Flegg struggles continue. Obviously, it's been a nightmare start for them. There is good news on the horizon. With the SG Ball bowing out of their final series, there's now a whole host of troops available for selection to bolster that troublesome backline. And I'm sure we'll talk about that briefly, very briefly. But yeah, they've had a really tough start to this year.
So still have yet to make the winner's circle this year. Yeah. But as you said, reinforcements up the way. And that is because the SG Ball Cup team went down 42-10 against the Bulldogs. A lot bigger difference than the first hit up two teams had this year, and it could have been worse with only 50% off the boot there from Alex Conti for the Bulldogs. What went wrong, boys?
Hammy, were you there for
that? Should I say what went right? Will we be here all night?
I was out there for that one. I was a real fan on Sunday. I think they lacked the upper elite talent of 19-year-old. A lot of, Blaise Talangi, Matty Arthur, Sam Tuivaiti. I think those three definitely make a difference in this team. Not sure if they go on to win like they did last year, but I think they make a better fist of it with those three in particular. So they were missing that there. It's a hard one because I think there's a couple of players in this team that I think are higher honours. I won't say definite first graders because that's always hard to pick, especially at this age. But I think there's a few players there that are worth higher honours. I just don't think that we were able to surround them with that sort of mid-tier talent of this grade for it to be going any further.
I think that's a factor. I also think across the board, coming into this weekend, we felt underprepared and overmatched with that extra week off. I know that just looking at these games, it felt like across all three grades, the Knights in Fiowa, obviously this game with the Bulldogs and then the Warriors and Harold Bats, we allowed our opposition to jump out to really solid starts and get, almost a constricting lead on the scoreboard. And we end up having to chase points from a very early stage, down 3-4 converted tries heading into halftime in most of those instances. And it just, it causes you to fall away from your structures and start panicking. And, in the case of these two games, I'm not sure about the Fiowa in particular, where I think there might have been some more errors at the back. In these, both the ball and the mats, we just got physically out-enfused by two very hungry oppositions.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the mats later, but with the mats, the very talented team, they just seem to, after the round one thrashing of the Warriors and I think the week off, it looked like they were coming in, they thought they were just going to rump it in. I don't think that we can judge future potential by just one game. I think over the season and over a couple of seasons, there's a couple of guys that can hold their heads high. I thought Larima Rokosuka had a strong game, Lincoln Fletcher, and then Ryder Talangi at the end. But I thought overall from the get go, it seemed to be a bit soft. It seemed to be a bit underprepared. It seemed to me that it was more mental, this game, because we know they've got talent. We've seen. Well, you don't go through a season undefeated and draw with the teams coming first and second if you're not talented. So to me, it was all mental. I'd rather them learn that at 16-17 now than later on. So, it depends how you bounce back from this, not this game in particular.
Yeah, and just off the top there, it was Warriors 30 to the Eels 20 out at Leichhardt Oval. So, And we already touched on it before, at least 40 did, Lisa Fiola Cup. Bloody Newcastle Knights in the women's competitions, they have our measure against the Eels 10. Rapati and Latapu both getting over, and Bailey Marchong won from 2 for conversions there, but a half-time lead of 16-0 made things very difficult in the second half.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, I think there were some errors out back when it came to cleaning up kicks that ended up proving costly. So, they'll look back on that one and know they probably let the game slip. But they've got a... I don't know what the schoolboy program or schoolgirl programs are for them now, but that's probably what's on the horizon. Because I'm just trying to think, Ham, there isn't a 17s origin series for boys or girls anymore, I don't think. So
no.
They'll go to schoolboy carnival or schoolgirl carnival now. Or whatever the equivalent is, and
I know that the girls now have a schoolgirl competition, much like the schoolboys competition. Yeah. I believe it coincides.
Yeah. Whereas the Tasha Gow, obviously, the cream of that crop will be part of the Harvey Norman's Women's Premiership pathways now, being involved in the reserve grade squad and maybe even the NRLW squad for a select handful that, well, in the case of Lindsay Tui, who's already played NRLW, so that's what's on the horizon for those two teams.
All right, Jensen, there's no real Eels news this week. Jokes.
He got him.
You bloody joker, you bloody got me on that one.
So the worst kept secret in rugby league. Eels signing Zach Lomax for 4 years, commencing from next season. Now, they did finish off this presser with, out of respect for Zach's current club, we will not be providing further comment until he joins Parramatta Eels in 2025. I think Zach made his own statement about focusing on this year at the Dragons. Do we think that's all a little bit of scuttlebutt and there might be something
in there? There is no way the club isn't, not agitating, but working for that early release. It happens too often. Eels have been benefactors out of the past. Not to say that they're going to get it done, but they'll be absolutely pressing every button, opening every door they can to get this done. Because anyone that's watched Zach Lomax this year, how much of an upgrade he would be in our back line, it cannot be understated. The effort, the ability to win a chase in a contest for the high ball. Like, Mitchell Moses must be just sitting there watching these week-to-week highlights going, God damn, I could use that. And that's not to say...
I haven't really been able to take notice of Zach. I haven't watched too many Dragons games this year, but I made in particular to watch the game against the Tigers. And it's not what he just does with the ball. He surrounds himself around the ball. He's out playing out on the right wing, and then obviously it's a set play, but he's coming into the middle looking for offloads. It's a kick chase. He's just absolutely sprints for that kick chase up in the air. He was unbeaten. To me, that first 40 minutes... it was probably one of the best wing performances of over 40 minutes I've seen for a very long time. He was on everything. He could have had a hat trick. He should have had a hat trick, but
Jack Bird plucked it out of the air. Yeah.
Jack Bird plucked it out of the air, and he was being kind. He thought, I'll get a try assist rather than a try handing it off.
That's right, because he had Jack Bird take the pass, and then he had one where he just handed it off to someone. I don't know if it was Bird or someone else.
Flanagan.
Flanagan, that's right. Yeah.
To me, that's... I understand he'll probably come here as a centre, but geez, he's playing some good footy on the wing. Yeah, he's the form. If he's not the form winger in the, if he's not the form player in the competition, he's at least the form winger in the competition. 190 metres a game, unbeatable in the air. Just looks an absolute stallion. He's a stallion out on the wing. I hope him coming doesn't mean he's forced to play. Well. Not forced to play centre, but I hope that he and the club are open to him playing wing, because that would be absolutely massive for us.
Yeah, completely agree. I reckon he could be a walk-up starter for the New... Well, let's not get too early into Origin, but walk-up starter for the New South Wales Origin team on that wing. I think he's been picked in the extended squad before. But even at centre at the moment, he's probably... He'd be one of the up there picks in that Origin team for centre too. Birdie, your thoughts, mate? We haven't heard from you yet.
Did someone say X Factor? Is it X and Lomax? No, I love it. Like, it's just the aerial threat. Like, this is something like, you look at Sean Lane, like, you target him, but this guy gets airborne. Like, and not to mention, he's a great goal kicker. And if Moses goes down or, listen, Gufferson is streaky, right? And when I say streaky, it's the ball's going straight. So you know straight away if he's going to miss it or not. So one thing I did notice with Brad Arthur mentioning is he rucks at the ball, and everyone knows it now when he's playing wing. He rucks at the ball well, and that's what they're sort of like targeting now, or that's what they're saying they're bringing him to the club for. So maybe this might be like a sign going forward that he's expecting our back five to start rocking at the ball, contributing more, and that's probably why, Sivo's dropped pretty much last week. So it's interesting to see Brad Arthur admit that or mention that on NRL 360. So, yeah, I'm all for it. It's just now, going forward, what do we do with Blaze? Is he going to be fullback? Is he going to be centre? I just want us to be settled, just, for God's sake. I just want us to be, all settled and, on the field, in terms of, 1-5, no more chopping and changing.
Yeah, and Morgan Harper tries hard, but it's an easy upgrade there. And Bailey Simonson, is he off contract to the end of this year as well? I think.
Yeah.
You've probably, unfortunately for Renesini, I think if he'd got a full year of reserve grade into him, there's a potential that he could come in on the wing next year, but I think he's probably still at least a year away, and that's if he comes back from this knee injury and performs it the way that we're hoping him to. it's obvious upgrade. X factor, as Bertie said, great player. We just got to find his more natural spot. And I guess always in the future, when Gutho does slow down a little bit at fullback, there's a potential for Lomax to move into that fullback spot if we don't think Blaze is that eventual fullback player.
Well, that's the thing. I think the signing of Lomax actually gives us a bit of time with Blaze to play him at fullback. I know he'd be playing off the bench this week, but it'll give us time to – we won't have to put him at centre. We might be able to play him a bit more at fullback in reserve grade, and he can truly learn how to play fullback in reserve grade rather than just in the off-season.
All right, well, I think that will finish off the chat there. About Lomax, there's no other real big news. I guess nobody really got charged coming out of the match, either from us or from Cowboys. Always a good thing. Let's move on to the previews then. There's no juniors now. That's the bad part about knockout football. Once you get knocked, you're out. So into the flag, which we'll see Sunday, the 21st of April at 1:15 p.m. The Roosters taking on the Eels here. There's a couple of big ins there. Vivella, Lynn, Tupu, Alamedine, and Brown. So what do you want to say about a couple of those players, 40 and Bertie? 40 and Ham, sorry. But Bertie, you can...
If you want to chime in, you're welcome to. Yeah, this is
Listen to you, man. Last week I was struggling. I was like full like... I don't know, man. So it's good to have the veterans and the experienced people back. But I was fish out of water.
I mean, the SG Balls loss is obviously the flag's gain here, Ham. We've been talking about the back line and the lack of depth there ad nauseum. Obviously bringing in three players immediately in Alamedine, Kikoi, and Vivella is a big boost there. I'm always surprised they didn't bring in Dom Ferrugia as well and put Dom Destratis back into the forwards as the bench utility forward maybe. But I don't know if Dom's even nicked up or they don't reckon he's ready for flag yet. The other big in this week is a new face, Tyler Cuthbert, another Queensland recruit coming in at fullback. We caught this one on socials going back a couple of months, I want to say. I think it was on Instagram. We saw him being signed by the Parramatta Eels, so... Very keen to see, well, it's out at Wentworth Park. I'm not sure if I will see, but to start getting some feedback about this one. But, yeah, it's a completely new-look back line. The only returning player this week is Dom Destratis, and I really like Dom. He's a wholehearted, high-effort, puts himself in position to succeed sort of guy, although his best position probably is in the back row. The other interesting change, Ham, Arpa Tweedle now in at 5'8". I wonder if his move has been coming for a while. He's a good player, but I'm not sure if he's got the wheels to play fullback and put him in. Yeah,
I was going to say the same thing. I'm not sure he just has the quickness for fullback.
But he does have good set of hands, some nice ability to ball play. He could end up carving out a nice little role in the 5'8 position. Got a good partner there in Joshua Lynn who returns. I believe he was suspended last week, and that was obviously a big out for the team. In the prior two games, he'd been probably the best player on the park for the Eels, and they went close to getting two wins in those two losses there, and Lynn was a big part of it. Otherwise, all these changes help facilitate Warawi Smith returning to dummy half, which is his best position. So that boosts the team in that regard. And then from there, the four pack still reads pretty solid. Tuivaiti, Pryke, Young Will Lewis, I don't mind as well. You got Lance Fulima on the interchange. So there's some good bodies there. It's just when you're down 0-5, 0-6, everything feels like it's against you. You just got to find a way, like the Cup did last week. It doesn't have to be pretty. You just got to find a way to hold on, grit your teeth and just hold on, even if it comes down to the last minute or two like it did in the Cup game. And that's what they need this week against the Roosters.
I think the players added to the backs. A few handling errors amongst Moe Alamedine and Devonto Vivella. I think they'll add a bit more punch coming out of their own end. Alamedine has a knack of using late footwork, and he's pretty stocky for a winger of his age. He's got a good size about him. I like watching him play. I think he's typifies a modern day winger, just the way he rucks the ball out. He's not overly quick, but he's quick enough that once he's pushes past, he can find the quick players to finish off the try. I think that'll help massively. I thought the you look at that forward pack. You're looking at Sam Tuivaiti. Oh, it's a bit down on troops at the moment. Sam Tuivaiti,
right? No Brazel.
Yeah. I think between Tuivaiti, Riley Smith, and Saxon Pryke, there's still enough toughness, there's still enough skill that they should be at least a win after this weekend. But we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
And then that will take us to the New South Wales Knock-On Effect Cup, which will see the Eels in 13th playing the Roosters in 12th, 3 p.m. Sunday, the 21st of April, which will take place at Wentworth Park. Can you tell us Wentworth Park?
I've made that mistake once before.
There'll be no chip and gravy rolls.
Yeah, and luckily, this was years ago, a long time ago. God, going on nearly a decade now. Thankfully I turned around in time, just like Wentworth Park, that doesn't sound right. And I still got there in time. It's near the Greyhound track, isn't it?
Wentworth Park is down in Ultimo Glebe area, down near the Sydney Fish Markets.
Near the Greyhound track, right?
Yeah.
All right, looking at that team list, unfortunately, Offahi Ogden goes out with, I think that might have been a torn pec or something.
Yeah, he came off a goal line, was it goal line defense? I was sitting down in the members bar, and it happened right in front of us. I think it would have been, it must have been defense. And he got up and it did like the classic grab, the pec bicep area. But usually they brace it and you can tell they're in agony. But he ended up like sort of shook it off, and I thought it might have been a stinger. And he just walked off without the arm bracing his own jersey or anything like that with the trainer there. But then we saw pictures on social media of him being post-op at whatever hospital he got sent to. So unfortunately, it looks like it's a major injury for the big man and a big loss. Given that he's probably the biggest impact forward they've got through the middle.
But then in good news, we get to see Matt Dury is named as an inclusion on the bench. Kelmer comes back in as starting second rower. God damn it, that Matt Arthur photo. It looks so much like Brad. It's scary. But having a look at that team list, Charlie Gallimer named it lock. Is he more of an edge than a middle?
Ham, you've got some strong feelings about this, so I'll let you take over here.
They experimented with it during the start of the SG Ball season last year, and I thought, he's former half, played centre, played second row. He can play a bit of, model his game after Jermaine Hopgood with that ball playing, that offloading. To me, it just didn't work. I thought once he moved back out to the edge, that's a big contributing factor of why the SG Ball team won last year was him moving out to the edge. He's got more time. He runs a fantastic line. He's a really good edge defender. To me, I don't understand. You've got Dan Keir there. There's no future in Dan Keir. There's a future in Charlie Geimer at edge. I'd swap the two around.
But outside that, we definitely think they've got it right with Matt starting and Manny Luke on the bench. Manny Luke always seemed to me like a bit of a pocket rocket sort of infused bench hooker who would come on at that 60-minute mark. But outside of that, Zach Senior at fullback, not really liking it.
I mean, to be fair, and this is a big to be fair, Senior would be close to fourth or fifth string fullback at the club. Right now, there's no Blaise Talangi, there's no Dejan Arce. The back line's also been hurt by the fact that Mike Acevo's form has kept Harper and Simonson up in NRL 2. Not to say that, in Bowie's case, he had to be knocked back, but Bowie would have been another fullback candidate there too as well if he'd been down. So, we are exhausting we know the back line depth isn't there for the club right now, which has been, the ongoing conversation we've had for a long time. So seeing Senior there is probably not too much of a surprise, as unfortunate as it is.
Well, they are in some luck in that this Roosters team has not been going very well, and I can hardly name a single person in their squad. So, hopefully they can get up. We'll get a win on the weekend and make one win into two. Then we go to the headliner on Friday, the 19th of April at TIO Stadium in Darwin, Channel 9, 9 Now, KO Foxtel. Eels at 11th taking on the Dolphins in 5th in that Dolphins. So let's run through them. They've got Trey Fuller at fullback, Isako and Bostock on the wings, Averillo and Tessie New in the centres, Cody Nikarima and Isaiah Katoa in the halves, Jesse Bromwich and Mark Nichols starting props. Jeremy Marshall-King at hooker. Kenny Bromwich, Ewan Aitken in the second row with Max Plath at lock. Josh Kerr, Sean O'Sullivan, Raymond Stone, Jared Wallace on the interchange bench. Extended bench is Oren Keeley, Edric Lee, Mason Teague, Tavare and Simbikin. Is that right? Jeremiah Simbikin. Then for the Eels, at fullback, Clint Gutherson, Bailey Simonson, Sean Russell on the wings, Will Penasini, Morgan Harper in the centres, Dejon Arce and Dylan Brown in the halves, RCG, Junior Balo in the starting props, Joey Luth, and RCG with the Mo coming back in. That's the difference in the team. Joey Lussick at nine, Sean Lane, Bryce Cartwright, second row, Jermaine Hopgood starting lock, Luca Moretti, Ryan Madison, Joe O, and Blaise Talangi named on the bench. Brendan Hands, Kelma Tuolangi, Wiremu Greg, Makasi Makatoa, and Mika Sebo on the extended bench. So, gentlemen, almost an unchanged team from last week, but for the inclusion of Blaise Talangi. Birdie, why is Blaise on that bench?
I think what Brad Arthur said the other day, just a trial and error, like we're going to mix it up, see what we can use from him. I said it after his debut, well, no, actually, it might have been before, that I wouldn't mind seeing him on the bench towards the end, because if we had a choice between him and Hands, I feel as though he can cover more positions than Hands can. And look, I thought he could play on the edges. You know, I was under the impression he could be a lock slash center, but...
Well, that's what Brad Arthur kind of intimated, wasn't it? That he had that... if the opportunity presented itself, there was that almost Queensland Origin-esque playing a half at lock forward to go up tempo through the middle opportunity there for him. So we have to wait and see if he will pull the trigger on it, but it certainly seems to be a possibility.
He's got the footwork, like even like, and I haven't watched much of him play like since he's come to the club or his junior days, but every time I saw him, he made the first guy miss, whether it was the SG ball last year or flag, whatever. Like it seemed like he's got the footwork. It's just defensively, he just arm grabs. So. I don't know. Look, I don't mind Brad Arthur throwing it out there, especially like, and it's not disrespecting the opposition, but we need to know what we got with this guy. And yeah, I just felt though for the benefit of the team, he couldn't be in the halves with Dylan. So I don't mind it. You know, maybe he might finish the season off on the bench, you know, as a utility. So I don't mind it. But other than that, can I just say this is a big game for Sean Lane. Like, I know he's had injury concerns over the years, but mate, like, I need a big game from him. I need an easy kill for him because he's starting to go down that territory where, like, maybe he's not guaranteed a starter. And, like, that could be, like, controversial, but when Bryce Cartwright is the better edge back rower in our squad, like, and I'm not disrespecting Bryce Cartwright, but, like, Sean Lane was, like, is everyone's favourite. Like, he's you know, God bless him. He's done so much for this club. And you know, there's times where he's actually played cap. He's a captain for, like, in the trials, but... It's getting to a point where he's sort of going backwards a bit, but I don't know. Maybe he's not recovered yet. I don't know. It could be mental. You never know.
I was going to say, I thought Sean was probably a little bit better last week than he has been all season. Obviously coming off injury-riddled season last year. And also having, you know, that left edge changes every single week. It's sort of hard to build up those combinations when you don't have that steady edge there in terms of player selection. One thing for mine, I thought just on the Blaise inclusion, and given we've seemed to have lost an outside back in every single game this year, whether it be for a 10-minute period for a HIA or for an extended period, it seems like a great idea to have somebody you can slot in winger slash centre so that you're not having to shift Cartwright from one side to the other to play centre or put Will Penasini on a wing or something like that. It just seems like a no-brainer at this point if we're going to continue to have HIAs. And the NRL, in its wisdom, has decided not to allow an 18th man, even when you have an outside back go down. Seems like a no-brainer at this point.
Can I interject for one more before I finish? What if, is there a possibility that maybe Lussie can go to the bench like after, say, 30 minutes and then Dejon can go into, like, say, hooker? Like, is there a possibility he could do that? Or can we play, Blaise at hooker? Like, I'm thinking, because I don't think Joey can play 80 minutes. And 80 minutes in Darwin is like 160 minutes, you know, like it's just crazy. So is there a possibility like one of the halves can go into dummy half? We're not going to say Dylan Brown, but... either an RC or like Blaise to go into dummy half for a bit to give Lussick a spell?
Short answer, no. Ham 40, I don't know if you have a different view there. I think you're just taking away from...
If you had to play someone at dummy half, you'd probably just put Blaise in there. You know, or technically, I suppose, I know it's a meme, but Guffo can go in there too and help there, and you can juggle the team around that if you needed to stint Brendan. I am very much open to the idea of Joe Lussick not playing 80 birdie, but to facilitate that, I will just pick Brendan Hands, and obviously we haven't in this game, but I will be completely comfortable with Brendan Hands working in a rotation with Joey Lussick in order to get the best out of that position, but that's not on the cards this week.
40 strengths, weaknesses. Strength being all of the outs for...
Yeah, I know we've been legitimately whining about our issues, having no Cartwright for a week or two, and obviously Mitchell Moses, and then losing some of our young guns in Miller Steven and Renesini. But then you look at over at the Dolphins, you're like, well, maybe it isn't so bad. So we catch the Dolphins at obviously a tremendous time. It's not good. In terms of playing the game on paper, it doesn't get much better. Obviously, you don't win games on Team West Tuesday. And when you're going up against Wayne Bennett, you know that the Dolphins are going to be gritty and tough and not go away easily. In saying that, the Eels, well, I think they match up well across the park. With the players that the Dolphins have out, their back line still reads okay. Azarco, Averillo, Tessie New, they're all, you know, competent first graders or better than that. Jack Bostock's a big unit on the wing. Don't know much about Tri Fuller at fullback. But the Eels, you know, Nikarima Katoa, I think that we match up well with Brown and Arcee there. So the loss of Mitchell Moses is mitigated significantly there. I think our forward pack's better. I think our bench is better. So on paper, we have a whole series of positive matchups here. The big wild card, of course, is the Darwinian conditions. We know that they take a huge toll on both teams playing. Eels are going up, I believe, tomorrow to try and facilitate an acclimatization period there as much as you can. So the formula, the strategy, it's simple here. Just go out there and dominate through the middle. That's it. Like everything else sort of figures itself out. Yeah, we might lead in some tries down the edges, but we saw that the Eels can make adjustments and show a bit of scramble and hustle there. Obviously, Sean Russell was fantastic in that regard, but even Morgan Harper, who had a bad miss or two, also showed a bit of heart and ticker trying to get back and make cover tackles. So we will continue to tidy that aspect of the team and hopefully we can do it this week. But I'm looking towards Reg. I'm looking towards, obviously, Joe if he's starting, and then Junior to really bring the sledgehammer in that interchange role. Obviously, there was that one game where it fell apart against Canberra, but yeah, prior to that, every game, and including last week against the Cowboys, every game that he's played off the interchange, he has been legitimately one of the best forwards in the game. So I'm really looking forward to seeing more of that, and I think that's where we win the game. Just keep it simple, dominate the rock.
Him.
Yeah, I think that's the go. Up in the Darwin heat and humidity, possession is king. Position is king. I just think keep it simple, go up the middle, throw your offloads when they're needed, and then we've got the Dolphins for talent. You know, you talk about in the back line, they might be able to score some tries out wide. Isaiah Katoa's having a good season with his kicking game. I don't really see it. They've got too many outs. Tabu Ifedo, if he was playing, I'd be a bit more worried. His speed, I look at that team. I think we've got them covered in every position. The team need to go out there, play like they know they're going to win, but don't be cocky about it, if that makes sense. Go out there, know that just do the work. I don't know. It's a hard one because this game we should win. We just got to keep it simple, get to the kick, and our talent will beat the Dolphins. Like, they've got the only position they might be better than us is Jake Averillo over Morgan Harper. Maybe. That's it. I think actually Averillo plays left, so it'll be up against Penasini, so we'll be testing you against Morgan Harper. Every other position, I think we have it over the Dolphins. But as Forty said, they're going to come out tough. They've still got Jesse Bromwich, Mark Nichols, Kenny Bromwich. And then on the bench, there's not too much, but keep it simple. Junior off the bench, run hard, tackle hard, and we'll be able to put the points on like we did last year with him too, I think.
Yeah, Mono even dare suggest straight, direct, complete the set.
Keep going.
But yeah, I think you're all right. Like, this is a game that we should be winning. That has alarm bells ringing all over the place, especially given we're playing Darwin and not playing at Parramatta Stadium. But there's just too many outs for this Dolphins team.
Yeah. I think they have nine players out.
And just looking at the Dolphins, they lost against Broncos, but then prior to that, they beat Wests and Titans and Dragons. Sorry, I think that's my internet being a bit shitty. But Birdie, do you have a first try scorer eventual score?
Yes, so I'm going to go first try scorer. I know I talk crap about him. Sean Lane. Why not? I always say Will, you know, young Will, or, you know, someone at the centres, but I'm going to go like a short crash ball in the sticky conditions. I feel as though Sean Lane will get the chocolates. And, I feel as though, actually, you know what I will say? I reckon Sean Lane, Bryce Cartwright and Hopgood will all score a try.
Jeez.
Sean Lane.
Yep.
Bryce Cartwright, Hopgood, back row.
100%. And then when I do that, I'll be charging for some first try score tips. And, other than that, here you go, Para.
Final score?
40.
Final score? I tipped us to win. I think it was like 10-6 or whatever. I reckon we're going to win this week 34-10. So, big score. So,
I respect the Cojones of Core, the free legger on the back row there. I'm going to keep it simple. I'll go for one of the wingers here. Probably Russell over Simonson, but both obviously good candidates for FTS. Eels to win 28/30-16/18 over the Dolphins.
Yeah. Going the monarchy, the king, first try scorer. I think it'll be a Jermaine Hopgood break up the guts and then guts to finish it off, coincidentally. And Parramatta to win 14-8.
Low affair. All right, well, I also had Clinty G in the back of my mind there, Ham, so I'll tag along with you for first try scorer. I'm going to say, whilst I'd like for us to be a great defensive team, we're still not there. So put me down for 32-24 of victory over the Dolphins. The Dolphins being very resilient, even with all the players out. All right, well, I think that'll do us for this week. There's, you know, the great news of Zach Lomax. Hopefully he's going to get here a bit sooner. Off the back win, everybody feeling a little bit better. And that, you know, we don't have to completely burn the joint down at this present moment. Another win would see us get above that 500 mark like 40 was talking about earlier, which will be so important, especially after that. We have Manly at their home ground and then into the bye, and it'll be an especially difficult task to beat Manly at their home ground. Win the ones you should win.
That's exactly it.
Alright gents, well, it's been nice to talk with you again, and thanks everybody else for joining us, and go Eels, and we'll see you in the next one. That's the only way to win. And when they both are crying,